The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening. Welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday evening, December 14th, 2014. My name is Ray Moore, and I have my co-host here, Brian White. And today, we're going to discuss a lot of topics around the sports world, especially how to do with domestic abuse. Also talk about women in sports. More importantly, about the Knicks and their struggles of winning 5-20. Right now, they're winning by 4 against the Raptors. And the Nets' culture change and what they see in the future in terms of the All-Stars. And, of course, the Jets and Giants and their wins today about the draft for next season. So, Brian, let's start off here with domestic abuse. Now, in terms of that topic, it's a little topic where everybody has to say, well, what have we seen over the past few weeks, even a few months in sports? In terms of football, for instance, you had the Ray Rice situation.
Yes.
Now you had the Adrian Peterson situation. And you had a lot of players around the league doing some specific stuff like either in trouble of hitting their wife or kid or whatever, something like that. What do you think the future is that in terms of sports?
I mean, I think the NFL, they instated a female to cover, you know, all these domestic abuse cases, especially with the players and their spouses, because that's one of the key elements that's going around, especially with Ray Rice and the video and the graphic of it. But domestic abuse has been going on for so long, and everyone just watched it
and
underneath.
That, yeah, and that is the funny part about it, because it's been on it for probably, let's say, 100 years, let's just say. It's been the beginning of time that somebody's been domestic abuse, just a regular citizen on the street, or even in your home family, or even just probably an incident that you have with your friend or something like that. But the reason why it's so much, I would say, people keep talking about it, because it's sports. These celebrities, they're out there almost every day. We see them almost like they're actors. Like they have the publicity and all the credit and all that stuff. And you get all that attention, and that's why everybody talks about it.
I mean, let me just say this. Raymond and I, we do not condone domestic abuse whatsoever.
Yeah, that's one thing. And if you could put your comment on this or put your voice in at 631-888-8811 on this issue, that'll be welcome, because let me tell you something. This is about to be an ongoing issue, even though with all the policies that NFL has been doing, probably the NBA and all the other sports, it's still going to be going on.
But I do think that when you look at it internally, you're asking players to be aggressive, right, and play tough. And I watched a documentary on Lawrence Taylor, and when the person was speaking, the narrator was saying, you know, one of Lawrence Taylor's problems was he couldn't turn off the tenacity and his toughness on the field. He couldn't turn it off the field. So even though on the field, we loved him for being tenacious, you know, tough, rugged. When he's off the field, we chastised him. You know, he got arrested. He was a drug addict. I mean, he was abusive.
Yeah.
So when you look at it from that aspect, now they're looking at concussion. You know, is that one of the reasons why NFL players are succumb to be more to be abusive to their spouses? I think they should have done something a long time ago, because I think we're in a different era. Everything is changing. It's time that it shouldn't even be an issue to where if an individual commits domestic violence, it doesn't need to be an argument about it. You know, you get your punishment, you get rehabilitated if you can be rehabilitated, and then you move on with your life. The Adrian Peterson case is different.
It is.
Just because what we're going through, me being, you know, a man of color, and to see how many of us get killed by police officers, you know, you see Ferguson, you see what happened in Staten Island with Gardner.
Yeah.
Seeing the 12-year-old in Cleveland that got shot down by the police officer. All these things happen because of their skin color. It's nothing else. So with Adrian Peterson, he had to punish his child, even though the child was young. You know, he was a baby. But you have to, you know, get him from there young. That's one thing our parents always say, especially when it comes on to cops. So in that respect, it's different to me.
It is different.
You can't treat them the same, because as a person of color, we do get judged. You know, anything, if I wear a hoodie at night, best believe I'm getting stopped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Certain way that I carry myself, I'm going to be looked at. If I go to a store, more eyes are going to be on me more than on you. It's just the reality of it. So you have to raise our kids, not say abuse them physically, but we have to raise them to be more, treat them right, but we have to raise them to understand certain things. They can't do certain things that other individuals do just because of the history that we have in this country.
But also, you gotta look at it this way, also social media right now. You know, you have now Twitter, you have Facebook, you have Tumblr.
Things are more instant.
LinkedIn, you have all of this. We never had that back then, and nobody really know exactly what these athletes were doing to these kids or family members, or even their wives or friends. You know, we haven't seen all that. But what I'm seeing right now is that NFL policy is now being more strict now with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have more of the criminal cop side of it, almost the court side of it, being involved, especially with these athletes. Now there's more punishment on that more than the drugs, usually, like, you know, for instance, marijuana and all that stuff. But what do you think of the future is going to be like, let's say, 2 or 5 years?
I mean, I do think you're going to see a lot of young men lose a lot of money when it comes to domestic violence. And I do think if they're not careful, it can be a trickle-down effect, meaning if we saw Ray Rice and his wife stuck together, right? So if they just suspend that individual indefinitely, right? Now he has no money, no income, and is still with that female. Who's there to protect that person if that player is not rehabilitated? You know, who protect that individual? Because now you have no money and more anger, more rage coming in. So I am interested, I'm intrigued to see what the policy is going to be like to protect these victims of domestic abuse, especially if they choose to stay with their spouse and work out the relationship.
I mean, you brought up from that. Now let's go from on the woman's side. You brought up an interesting topic, you and me, when we were coming here, about women being underpaid. Can you elaborate more on that?
If you look at the WNBA salary, right?
Yeah.
Rookies make $51,000. The WNBA MVP, Tina Charles, she make $105,000 a year, right?
A year.
Right? Look at this. Gilbert Arenas used to play for the Washington Wizards, right? He was on a guaranteed contract, right? So he's still getting paid by the NFL. He's making $45 million for the next 2 years.
$45 million
in the next 2 years. Guaranteed contract. Guaranteed money. Gilbert Arenas hasn't played good basketball since 2007.
Yeah.
So when you look at that contrast, Tina Charles hasn't missed a WNBA game since she got into the league. And you have an individual who hasn't played any game making just a ridiculous more amount of money than that. So that inequality in pay is just evident. You can't put it more black and white. You really can't. $105,000 to $23.5 million. And one player is now playing the game and they're making that much money. So when you look at that, you know, something has to be done in inequality in pay, especially when it comes to NBA
well,
players.
Why is that, though? Why do you think that women players are getting underpaid and the men players are getting these six-figure, seven-figure salaries?
I'm not going to speculate of why. Traditionally, when you look, once you come out of college, you know, a guy get in a shoe deal.
Yeah.
Right? It's already set up a certain way. I think for female, they're still in the transition of, who gets what kind of deal? Do we have apparels for females to get these kind of bonuses? Are they making, generate the same amount of money ticket-wise? Does the owners have the same amount of money on the WNBA side as for the NBA? NBA been around longer, more established. Right? So those are the things. But I do think these players need to get paid more money. There are a lot of great basketball being played on WNBA. And it's a shame that these players, rookies, are getting paid $51,000.
$51,000. That's like when you look, a counter, probably.
Exactly. When you look at it from the other aspect, you have NBA rookies getting $1 million contracts.
$2 million contracts.
You know, it shouldn't be, it's the same sport. It shouldn't be that disparity of salaries. It should not be, and something needs to get done.
It could be the length of the season, though, because usually WNBA is playing the summer. They don't play really a lot of games. The playoffs usually end before summer ends. You think it could be that?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I just think if you look at us as a country nationally, right?
Yeah.
Inequality in pay is something that I don't touch politics, but it's something that politically, you know, they're trying to change, right? Men get paid more than women, even for the same job, right?
Yeah.
They're professional basketball players. It doesn't matter what season they're playing. they're professional basketball players. There's no reason why the rookie for the WNBA should be getting paid $51,000 while an NBA rookie is getting paid millions. That just doesn't make sense. One plus one always equal to two. That right there doesn't make any sense to me.
All right, well, that's just topic. It's going to be an ongoing issue. Hopefully, it resolves to that. So, you know, I'm looking at the score right now. The Knicks are 62-62 with the Raptors in the Garden without Jumper and JR. And I'm going to tell you right now about the Knicks and the season so far, and it's been a very disappointing season so far.
Of course.
5-20. 5-20.
But let's add this in, though. There have been many injuries on that team.
But you can't really – but look at the records that they have in close games. They're at least 2-9 when it comes to 5 points or less, and they lose the game. I mean, come on. That's just too much.
This is true. However, they have some injuries. New coach, new system, too many shooting guards, in my opinion. But they're definitely – they're going to be improved during the season. I think once Calderon come back, Melo has been injured. Shepherd is injured right now.
Yeah.
I think – once they get healthy, the Knicks will improve.
But I mean, just look at it right now. You got Anthony being injured. Now, the injury with Anthony is pretty interesting. Because I've been reading here in the injury, and he said, in quote, "I'll get out every day, try to do some stuff, try to see how it feels. Then if it gets to the point where I just can't do it, then I'll consider kind of sitting out maybe a week or 2 weeks or something like that." And Anthony said Friday morning, but at this point, it's just a matter of taking it day by day, seeing what happens, and seeing how I reflect after games. And we got now guests from Indianapolis, I'm correcting, from Elwood. First of all, I want to thank you for being on the show, of course, as always. So what do you have for questions about the Knicks or any other sports topics?
Well, no, what you guys were talking about with the WNBA players making the same as the NBA players and women's sport getting paid the same as men, you know, I called in to talk about that.
No problem.
That's not even logistically, I think, possible because of the amount of money and the revenue. I mean, like with here, you go to a Pacers game and you have to fight for a ticket. You have to fight to get in. This place is packed. I mean, I can go to a Fever, that's our WNBA game, mm-hmm. a few minutes before it starts and get right in and pick my seat. And you can't pay the same when you're not, you know, bringing it in the same. Like in college, that's why I tell these guys I know who play football and they're complaining they don't get paid. I'm like, guys, do you think girls softball in college makes a dime? No. Girls softball hemorrhages money. But by you guys playing football and not getting paid, the school has enough money to spread it around so we can have a girls' softball team. Do you think anybody's ever went to a girls' golf game in their life? No. Do you think, you know, I mean, I go to a Ball State girls' basketball game, and it's like 12 grandparents and 2 boyfriends. You know, you go to a guy, you can't pay the same if you're not making the same. It's like women's, you know, they say, why don't the women's have a PGA? Why don't nobody would go? I mean, they've tried some women's golf tournaments in the past. And they flopped. You know, we live in a society where if something makes money, we're going to go ahead and go with it. And I think if women's sports made money, you know, there would be no issue with paying them the same. But they don't. I mean, in college, they hemorrhage money. I remember when our girls' softball field where I went to college was kind of like in a valley, and I could see it going to class. Those girls would be down there playing away, wanting the soul watching. So not only did they not make any money in tickets, they didn't make any money in prestige for the school or sports coverage. I mean, it was just, you know, the girls playing ball. But you take something like boys basketball where they charge to get in, well, then that paid for it. So, you know, I agree totally there's a disparity in it, but I just think it's the fact of the world we live in, you know. I remember, well, get this, guys, when our WNBA team won the championship 1 year, my girlfriend said she wanted to go. So we were in line, and, you know, and we were, like, you know, not too far back. And we're in line, and they said, here, you want some free donuts? I said, sure. And they gave us free donuts. So I said, you want free coffee? I said, sure. And then we got up there, and they said, you want T-shirts, Fever T-shirts? I said, heck yeah. So we both got free T-shirts, and then the mascot came over and shook our hand. Then when we got up to the front, I said, how much? And they said, oh, don't worry about it. Paul George is paying for the first 300 people. So, I mean, they almost have to – get you in there for free. And this was a championship game.
Wow.
You know, if that was a Pacers game, they'd say, sit down,
yeah,
shut up, and pay whatever we tell you. You know, it's just, it's insane. And it's not the fact that they're women, because, well, you know, like gymnastics. Did you know women's gymnastics smokes men's gymnastics in attendance and revenue? So actually, a women's gymnastics events are fairly nice. You know, there's some pretty good seats. They're hard to get into, you know, and they make money. But, you know, they smoke men's. So
So I agree with many of your points. But what I was saying is, yes, the disparity is there, but it shouldn't be that much difference in disparity. When you're looking at a $35,000 on a rookie scale, right, compared to millions in NBA players, that should nowhere be possible. They have TV revenues just like the NBA players have TV revenues.
But it's across the board. Like I said, you take a 50-cent coffee mug and put an NBA team logo on it and sell it for $15. That's a huge markup. And T-shirts. I mean, like with me, I've got Pacer shirt, I've got Pacer hats, Pacer shoes, Pacer car. I got all this Pacer crap I paid a king's ransom for that it really isn't worth it, and that made a lot of money for the team. I got the one Fever shirt I got for free. You know, I mean, the girls' teams don't make money in the revenue, and I with women, I don't see many women wearing WNBA stuff. You know, it's not like, you know, their own people don't. You know, their own people, I make it sound like a different species, but I mean, they don't even support it. So if you really think about it, the TVs don't really cover it that much. Nobody really buys the apparel and the stuff. Nobody really goes to the game, nor is it a great prestige draw. You know, I mean, some sporting events lose money, but it's good prestige. You know, like college football, I don't care how much it hemorrhages money. I know a lot of guys who wanted to go to that school because of the football. You know, I know guys who've dreamed their whole lives of going to Notre Dame, and it isn't because of the, you know, learning or the academics. They just saw Rudy, wanted to go. So there are other reasons to make money, and they're just not there for the women's sports. And they just can't pay them that. And I know it seems like a huge gulf in the pay, but there's huge gulfs in the profits. You know, Woof. I mean, it's insane. I don't know of any college sport in women's that makes money. I mean, most of them don't even have people going. It's like, woof.
Yeah.
That's why the guys listening who play football and think you should get paid, rethink that, because what you're doing is helping a lot of people.
Yeah,
you
know? That's what I'm saying. It's an ongoing issue for that. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. But thanks for a phone call and all your interesting facts on women, of course.
I want to get back to watching. I'm listening to your show, and then I'm watching the Eagles because my Colts play the Cowboys next week. I want a playoff run so bad.
All right, thanks.
I appreciate the call.
Appreciate it, man.
Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, so, I mean, this is an ongoing issue. Everybody keep talking about it, but it is. But I understand why he's making his points. It is true, though. They don't really pay attention a lot because, you know, you see more of the publicity, like I said, on men playing sports or the women's, and then you have all this, like, free games, especially the WNBA championship, which I didn't know it's free. I thought it was more of a payment as well, but it's just really how this country it is about between men and women.
I don't know if you watch college basketball. I enjoy college basketball for men's and women's more than I enjoy NBA basketball. I watch NBA just because of the players that I followed in college.
Yeah.
Right? Because of the passion, guys, they're making money. They're not as committed to the sport. You know, you probably can name maybe 10 superstars in the league. In college, everyone is hungry to get to the NBA. So everyone is playing their hearts out, and everybody's going for that ball, female or male. When you go to the WNBA, games that I enjoy, that same passion is there. You know, the passion is there. They had to change the rule because Brittany Griner went to the WNBA, and she was just black and everything. You know, so I enjoy just watching the WNBA and watching the passion that these girls play with. There's no drop off from college. Yeah, it's actually picked up from college because they're professionals. My point is there should not be that much disparity. Even if the NBA makes that much more money than the WNBA, you cannot tell me that the WNBA doesn't generate enough money to where they can have a rookie scale of $100,000 instead of $35,000. I'm not saying to pay the millions of dollars because –
yeah.
And female athletes, especially in the WNBA, finish college. They graduate way more than, say, NBA players.
They're more successful.
A majority of the WNBA players, you know, have their college degrees. While if you look at the NBA, many of these guys come out their sophomore, junior year. And the really good ones come out their freshman year. So when you look at it from that perspective, I'm saying, okay, look, they probably get paid less. They know how to manage their money more because they finished college, they're educated, you know, they're not stupid. But it shouldn't have nowhere close to be that much disparity. Nowhere.
It's gonna go up. It's gonna go up. They're gonna have to make it eventually because you know you have all this money increase in the country. You have technology increasing. You have social media and all that. It's gonna come eventually, but probably not now. Maybe in 5 years or so. So from, aside from that, the Knicks are losing by 5 at the end of the third quarter.
Knicks.
So yeah, but I was going back to the Knicks about situation about their season right now. They're 5-20, and they have all these injuries right now with Shumpert and JR, and I don't even know what happened to Bayani because he hasn't even appeared on the court yet ever since the training camp at the beginning of the season. And now it's you have Melo with this injury, like I was saying before, that I think they should just shut him down, in my opinion.
I don't think so.
Because what are you in it for the season? You're 5-20 right now. I just tank.
The Knicks can't afford to tank just because of the players that they have. I think they're gonna try and trade some players and get some new pieces, build in a draft, and see what they can do next year.
Okafor. But Duncan.
I don't think it's a tank. No.
But for Okafor? Yeah, this guy's the big the
oh, deal. Yeah, this is a draft for him. Yeah, I'm trading. No. From Duke? No.
Think
no,
the
no,
next
no.
Tim Duncan? Even Magic Johnson saying the Lakers should lose every game.
There's no way. Because look at Anthony Davis. It took Anthony Davis 3 seasons to be Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not going to... Knicks are going to wait another 3 more seasons for Okafor to build into his
game? Find the third best player in the game?
No, I'm definitely not going with that. Here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
The Knicks are prone to losing. They're used to losing. They haven't won a championship.
They're prone to losing.
They are they not?
Well, under Tim Dolan, actually, they have had a losing record since under his ownership. So they have been prone for the past 12,
okay, whatever
years.
Excuses you want to get, well, you're technical about stuff. They are prone to lose. They are losers. The past 12 years, the Knicks, in general, are losers.
They stink.
Right?
Yeah, they stink.
So tanking does not make any sense. It's like giving up your New York pride. And, you know, Brooklyn, they're 10-12. Brooklyn can make the playoffs
and
make
too.
Some noise.
Yeah, we'll
and that's too. They have that rivalry going. So the Knicks really need to get their stuff together. I think Phil Jackson is doing a good job building the foundation. Injuries happen. Calderon went down early in the season.
Yeah.
Melo has injuries.
He's been injured prone pretty much.
Exactly. Right?
Shumpert is injured prone. Now he's considered himself
so
injured prone.
So when you look at it from that, injuries happen. And I think the Knicks just have to just keep battling. Win close games.
They
close out.
They're not closing out games. That's the problem.
And that's the problem.
They're 2-9.
They need to close out games. But other than that, it's looking up. You know, they can go in a 10-game winning streak. And they won't make the playoff, obviously. But they can make things look good like they did in the last season.
But Stoudemire's been playing pretty good.
Stoudemire,
he's the only been consistent person that I feel like he's been playing good.
I don't think he's going to be with the Knicks next season.
No. You think he won't sign for a minimum, come back?
I think he goes to a contender. Especially
really?
Now he's playing well. He's not injured. He's injury free. I think he goes to a contender. I really do.
You think he won't stay for a minimum?
I don't think so. Because then it's guarantee that they make. Stoudemire wants to go on one or two more playoff push. He's in that mode where he wants to be in a championship type team.
Yeah.
You know, he's a come off the bench, give you 20 minutes a game. That's the type of player he has become. So I think he wants to go to a championship caliber team.
But what can the Knicks do in the next couple of games, though? How many do you think they need to have for the Knicks, say, to salvage their season now?
They need to win tonight, for sure. Yeah. The Knicks definitely need to win tonight. And if you have any opinions, you can call in at 631-888-8811.
Yeah, of course, on the Knicks. And also, what I want to get into thoughts more about the Knicks is the situation with this Carmelo and Tim Hardaway Jr. Fight, presumably a fight they had in the locker room. I mean, Hardaway Jr. personally called out Melo saying he didn't get the rebound, and then Melo's like, who the hell you think you are, or something like that. And then I'm like saying from this perspective, I don't think Melo should have said that. I think Melo should have done what he's supposed to do as part of being the leader on this team, show lead by example.
All right. Who said Melo, Carmelo Anthony, was the leader of the New York Knicks?
Then who's the leader on the team if it wasn't Melo?
Does the Knicks have a leader in their locker room who are players? This is the question. Since Jason Kidd left, has there been a leader in the Knicks locker room? My answer is no. The Knicks do not have a leader.
And that's a problem. Because if there's no leader,
Carmelo is a shooter, right? He played basketball. He does not know how to lead. Look, from time to time again, players last season, we had players call him out, right? And it's the same this season. So Carmelo Anthony is not a leader. He's a great basketball player, but he's not a leader to lead young men to play ball. He's not. But he's really not.
So you're saying, and after 12 years into the season, he can't be a leader after all those experiences he had with all.
I mean, he hasn't shown that he had leadership ability. The stability that they showed is when Jason Kidd came over.
Yeah, and he's making a difference in the Bucks right now. Just look at him with that.
Just look at how they're doing. So Carmelo is not a leader. Yes, he can play. You know, he can give you 25, 7 rebounds, 4 assists a game. You know, Melo, he scores buckets. Yes, we know that. But he's not a leader. He's not going to improve anyone mentally. He's not going to challenge anyone to let's improve our game. He's not going to do that. That's not Carmelo Anthony's game.
You think a triangle offense is a problem, though, with this team?
I don't think it's a problem. I think it's taking players longer to adjust to it than I think Fisher and Phil Jackson were anticipating.
Well, the Warriors are playing good, too. Steve Kerr, look at that.
But they had better teams.
But they're not really exactly playing triangle offense either.
They're not playing triangle offense.
They're playing more of
their defense improved dramatically.
Well, I said that if Andrew Bogut was healthy last season in the playoffs, that they probably would have been the Clippers.
But when you look at the Warriors now than last year, they played different, but their offense still hasn't. This great offensive team, and they were able to improve their defense efficiency.
Stephen Curry's playing good, too.
Stephen Curry's playing all out. You know, everybody's playing well. So I'm not going to compare it to this because Fisher was dealing with more injuries. You couldn't imagine Calderon's going down. You couldn't imagine Melo being that hurt, Shepard being hurt.
Yeah.
You couldn't imagine JR having that much of a difficult time dealing with the triangle.
They got to trade him away. I think they should trade him away. Like we said, it was warning last month. They said
trade JR because they had 3 shooting guards. Yeah. Why do you need 3 shooting guards? You need to trade 2 of them.
Yeah, so we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll discuss now on the Nets side of the sports, especially what Dan Williams said about Brook Lopez. Here on Sports Talk 1240, I'm Ray Mora.
I'm Brian White.
And AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB. Or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA, or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, ride share, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday evening. I am Brian White and my partner, Raymond.
Yep. So now, what we're going to do now is talk about the Nets. And, you know, it's funny about the Nets situation right now. They're a team right now that is 10-12. Apparently now they're having rumors of trading Joe Johnson, Brook Lopez, and Darren Williams. You have KG now sitting in back-to-back games, which is expected because he's at age right now where he can't play a lot of games. But you have a coach now in Hollins who's trying to develop a culture with the team, but it's like this team has been inconsistent over the past 2-3 weeks. You agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with that. I mean, even when they were winning in the beginning of the season, Joe Johnson called out everyone to listen, we're playing against, you know, low opposition.
And they still losing.
We're not going to do well playing tough teams. As soon as they made that West Coast trip, you saw what happened.
They just went down.
They got whooped. So Joe Johnson saw this coming in hindsight. I think the Nets need to just play together. They're 10-12, so they can turn it around. You know, I see them winning probably about 4-4 games for the season. But I think the players need to stop calling out each other and handle it like men in the locker room. Kevin Garnett is one of the greatest leaders in NBA history. So I think he needs to take over that locker room and be cohesive, because that's how they won when he was in Boston. You know, he led that group as a leader.
Yeah,
with his collection of players. So I think the Nets, they're in a better position than the Knicks are, just because they have leaders over there and they have better players.
Well, they do, but the problem with the Nets is that, I've always said this about the Nets, is Darren Williams. You know, Darren Williams is not the same player. Listen, Darren Williams can have all the surgeries he wants.
He will never be the same.
He could get the best surgery in Germany for all I care. He could go all the way to whatever in Australia, whatever, or Japan or China with the medicine, whatever, get the surgeries. But he's still not the same player. It's just he is what he is. He'll give you games where he's good. Then give you games where he's really, really terrible. And then there's games where he's not even in the game and he didn't even have an assist or anything. And he doesn't score well. I mean, that's pretty much what he is.
So then the Nets need to get a good, solid backup point guard.
And not that. It's also about the center in Brook Lopez. See, Brook Lopez, as we know, has always been injury prone. Healthy-wise, he's top five offensively and center-wise. Not better than
I think he's the best offensive center.
Not better than DeMarcus Cousins. Listen, DeMarcus Cousins can score on anybody.
Just, you know, improved in this blue out of water.
He can score anybody, though.
He's second behind DeMarcus Cousins, I would say.
Yeah, second. Actually, he's second behind Anthony Davis in low post scoring right now.
Anthony Davis is the center. He's more power forward.
Power forward, but he could play power forward center. But, you know, now that he's got to get bigger, Anthony Davis wants to stay healthy in the NBA at least. But going back to Brook Lopez, I mean, how the team is playing right now, they won last night. I saw the game against the Hornets when they just blew him out. And how they were playing, it was more of a team effort. But when Brook Lopez is into the game, he'd call up a ball stopper, kind of like Carmelo with the Knicks. Where he gets the ball.
ball hogger,
yeah. He gets the ball. He doesn't really pass it. He tries to score. He tries to draw that foul. And then, you know, sometimes he slows down their offense. He gets turnovers, and that's a problem with the team. And Darren Williams, well, this is what he said about Brook Lopez adjusting to their style. I don't know. Hopefully we can. Darren Williams' response on the team, ask if we keep up Lopez comes back from the injury. But we need to. That's how we want to play. I think everybody understands that when the ball is moving around like that, it's fun to play like that. You get into a rhythm, you feed off each other's energy, and it's good to see. So, I mean, it's really up to Brook Lopez. Either he's in or he's out. Because, you know, they're all probably going to get traded. We don't know if they're all going to get traded, but one of them's going to get traded.
I mean, it just makes things... Now you think about it, right?
Yeah.
How much better would Brooklyn have been if they had Dwight Howard?
Yeah.
Had they traded Dwight Howard for Brook Lopez back when Brook Lopez wasn't injured and he was playing well, all-star level Brook Lopez. Yeah. It would have been such a different team, right?
Yeah, because right now the Rockets are winning right now, too, and they're playing good. James Harden's having triple-double numbers right now. Like, he's MVP of the league right now.
But then when you look back on the Brooklyn, I think, you know, Lionel Collins has done a great job in this mailing out everyone. They're still there. They're 10-12. They played well last night. I think they're going to improve during the season playing team basketball and focus on defense and be efficient offensively. And they do have players that can, you know, Joe Johnson can give you 25 a game.
Yeah, he is what he is, Joe Johnson. He'll give you 15, 20 points, shooting,
so,
whatever.
So, you know you're going to get that shooting aspect from him. They miss Sean Livingston.
They really do miss him. Defensive-wise,
exactly.
They miss him.
And then, you know, transition breaks. But I do think the Nets are going to make the playoff. They're going to be probably 44, 45 win season. They're going to salvage your season. And with the Knicks being horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Just playing awful.
Wow, embarrassing.
Oh, my Lord.
I didn't see that coming
with
at all.
With the Knicks just being that bad, the Nets are the savior of the city. You know, at least they can look forward for playoffs. The Nets did make the playoff past two seasons. So there's something to look forward to. In comparison to the Knicks, you know the Knicks are not going to the playoffs. You know it's going to be, oh, it's going to have another savior. Oh, Melo's going to be good this year. A lot of blah, blah, blah nonsense. The Nets, they are who we thought they were.
You think we should trade Lopez, though?
I don't think so.
They should trade Williams.
I think they should trade Williams. Whatever they can get from him.
They should trade Joe Johnson and the ridiculous contract that he's having right now.
I don't think it should trade Joe Johnson. Just because
his contract's ridiculous, though. You know his contract is the second or third highest in the league right now.
But then who's going to trade for Joe Johnson?
A team that need, that has cap space.
Which is who?
76ers. And also the other bottom tier teams right now.
And the 76ers are rebuilding. They're not trying to get a veteran to... with that much money left on his contract. No, they're tanking for a reason.
They're tanking. I don't even know why they're tanking. They have like three centers. Why do they need, need to tank for another center?
They have a lot of good young players. All they need on Sixers is veterans.
So they're tanking for veterans.
They're tanking to make sure they have a good young nucleus. Once they have a good young nucleus, then you're going to see them start trading and picking up free agents, you know, to build. But if you look at the core, they have good young centers. They got good point guards, good shooting guards. You know, and they have, if they get the number one pick and Okafor come out.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They get Okafor and then what? You have Okafor.
But now you have a lot of picks that people want. So now you can literally trade and improve the team dramatically. You can get one or two all-star come to the team.
I know, man.
With your young nucleus.
As a Sixer fan, I mean, do you really want to go to these games if you know they're going to lose?
No, that's the hurtful thing about it.
Yeah.
You know. These guys are making money, right? Fans, and the tickets are not cheap, by the way. It's not like they're giving a discount on tickets, and they're still playing awful. And this is where I went back in the comparison with the WNBA. Yeah. You know, you're getting good games every night. You're having teams like the Sixers who are tanking. There's no discount on ticket prices, and yet you want people to watch this horrible tanking situation, this horrible sport, horrible game. They have some really good players, but it's...
What is it?
2-21.
Yeah.
2-21.
21. Knicks are right there, second to them.
At least the Knicks are 5-20. You know, they
well,
have three more games.
Bad, but. Yeah. Well, it's worth it for the Nets. Hopefully, they actually do make the playoffs.
They will.
I mean, in my opinion, they should trade Darren Williams because I am not... I've never been a Williams fan ever to begin with.
Here's the question. Who would you want to get Darren Williams for? The point guard in the league now.
Point guard would you trade for Williams? Holiday?
From
the Pelicans?
Yeah.
But I don't think Pelicans will do it, but
I mean, they may, but I don't think Holiday is a good matchup style for...
But he's fast.
He's
He can
quick.
Score. He can pass. I mean, we can't really do much. He's been an underrated point guard for the past
He has
two,
been
three
underrated.
Years. When he's healthy, yeah. And he's been an all-star before. It's not like he's ever been an all-star. He has been an all-star.
Yeah, he was an all-star on a bad team. I really...
Well, yeah. He's not John Wall, but, you know. There's nobody. Well, John Wall's just a blur.
John Wall's
just a blur on the court. And he's got to be a top five, top ten point guard right now.
I think the top two point guard.
Really?
I do.
Curry and...
So, break it down. Who's a better defensive point guard in the league than John Wall? Who played better defense?
Westbrook.
Point guard.
Westbrook.
No way possible.
Westbrook is a good defender.
He's a good defender,
He's actually a great... He can shut down anybody.
And Wall doesn't?
Wall can do it too, but I'm saying Westbrook in that... So between Westbrook and Wall, Wall is more quicker, maybe more faster than Westbrook, but athletically, Westbrook is a monster.
Okay, athletically, the only person that can even come close to Westbrook is Derrick Rose in his prime, when he's healthy.
Yeah.
But when you think of the straight-up defense, John Wall is the best defensive point guard in the league, point blank. And then you look at he's improved his jump shot.
Which is lethal,
his jump shot. And then he's going to the basket even more. He has developed his game to such a level where I think he's a top two, top three point guard.
He's got good vision on the court, too.
You know, I still think, I always think, you know, Curry's number one.
Yeah.
I think the guy from the Clippers is overrated. I really do.
Chris Paul.
But him as a leader,
best
leader there is.
Yeah.
I think he's a better leader than Dwayne Wade now. I really do believe that he has eclipsed Dwayne Wade to being the best leader in the NBA. But as a point guard, I just love what John Wall. I've been watching John Wall since Kentucky days. So, you know, I'm a college fan. So I watch these kids from college come to the NBA. But John Wall is nothing to sneeze at. I'm telling you, he's an all-around player. And you don't find that too many all-around players in the NBA anymore. You really don't.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so that makes one comparison, I guess. But, you know, we got the Nets. We got the Knicks. We got that Knicks. We got the Knicks struggling. Knicks down by three with 3:47 to go in the fourth quarter. So that's a close game right now.
Who could see this coming? The Knicks are bad. The Nets are bad. Giants are bad. The Jets are awful. Right? The two good teams in New York? You have Rangers.
All the hockey teams.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it.
Even the baseball teams are horrible. We even know what they're gonna be next.
Oh, you gotta love it. You definitely gotta love it.
Definitely do.
And New York sports this year has just been horrendous.
It has been. And we've been saying that for the past, what, like 2 or 3 months already? About New York sports has just been flat out terrible.
No good. No bueno.
Well, aside from that, let's go now into the Giants now. Yeah, Giants won today. You know, a meaningless win, in my opinion, because they're 5-9 right now.
They're
going to
be 7-9.
Oh, they're going to be 7-9. You know that. It's just lose and then get a heater, a high pick to get. I don't know. They really need offensive line. That's
they really
need.
Do need offensive
they
line.
They need offensive line. Either a center. They need to get a center who's going to be the future
they
of
need,
the team.
They need a center, a left tackle, a backup right tackle.
Yeah.
They need a. They just need a whole
need
new set.
They need to construct that whole.
Oh, a whole offensive line needs to get constructed. They need linebackers.
Yeah, definitely. Kiwanuka,
linebacker. You know, he did okay.
Yeah.
But Pierre Paul, they need linebackers. They need some good outside linebackers.
I mean,
they
the wide receiver core is good. You know, you got Beckham, who's a beast right now. You got Victor Cruz coming back, hopefully.
Here's the thing, though. Is Victor Cruz and Beckham going to be a good tandem?
I think it will because
they didn't play together in the field to show us, okay, they can play well together. That's the thing. Beckham is a really good route runner. Right, and he can beat you right running routes, and he has speed, and he has great hands. Victor Cruz is just going to run past you and just throw him the ball, and he's going to get it.
Yeah.
And then he's going to do a salsa dance.
Well, it depends on the roles. You got now Beckham could be the playmaker. You have Cruz that could probably be the deep router. You have Randall, who's also a good slot receiver, in my opinion, could be a good slot. And it's really about the tight end. You know, because the Giants always experiment with these tight ends over
they're
the past
always,
few years.
Yeah, they always
they gotta,
develop
but
tight
ends. In my opinion, they need to find a consistent tight end for Eli Manning. Because they can't just get him, like, tight ends off the street. Thinking he's going to be good.
But here's the thing, tight ends always surprise everybody for the Giants.
They do.
Yes, you know, because one thing that we know that happens is a trend. The Giants, they draft a tight end, probably in the fourth or fifth round, right? Everybody overlooks this tight end. Put him in the system, and they excel with Eli Manning. Then once the contract is up, they want to be overpaid. Giants let him go. They get a ridiculous amount of money somewhere else, and the Giants just do the same thing over again when it comes to tight end. That's just the Giants system. I really want them to get a solid running back.
What, you think they're not getting a running back?
I am not sold on number 44. I am not sold on him. I'm really not sold on him.
What about Jennings?
He's okay, but I'm not sold. I would love to see them drive a running back late in the rounds.
Lil Gordon?
Yeah, I would love to see them draft another running back.
You need to draft a running back in the first round.
No. I don't believe in drafting running backs in the first
round. What about Mel Gordon?
Not in the first round. Second round, maybe.
He'd probably be out of the first round, though, him. He's just running a stud.
I'm pretty sure somebody's going to draft him out of the first round, but I have that Bill Parcells mentality. You don't draft running backs in first round. I really believe in that because we've seen it time and time again. They get beaten so much, right? It doesn't make any sense. You can literally get a running back in the third or fourth round, give them a really good offensive line,
and
he give you the best numbers for the NFL season, right? Because once you're in the NFL as a running back, you are good. All you need to know, do you have a good offensive line? DeMarco Murray's doing great, right?
Yeah.
But would he be that good if he didn't have that solid offensive line?
Well, that offensive line's probably the best in the NFL.
Exactly. So without a good offensive line, you're not going to have good running game. With the Giants, I'm harsh on the running backs, but if they improve their offensive line game, then probably the running game will probably improve as well.
In my opinion, though, the Cowboys with the offensive line, they can beat the Packers in Lambeau if it was in the playoffs. If they make the playoffs.
Ooh!
And I'm telling you, the formula that they have, they could beat the Packers.
I don't trust Tony Romo.
On the road, though?
I do not
trust
Tony Romo.
They've been undefeated on the road this season, though.
Okay. But late in the season, And remember, the Cowboys, they always seem to just lose some ridiculous games late in the season.
You guys trust Romo over Sanchez?
I trust Sanchez over Romo.
Really?
Late in the season, this is why, right? Sanchez is not going to make ridiculous mistakes. He is not. Look at him at Philly. He doesn't make mistakes. Romo will give you 340 yards, right? Three touchdowns. Right?
One pick.
You're down in the nitty gritty. All he has to do is throw the ball out, and he throws the interception, the game is over.
Yeah, I always had that feeling.
So Romo, even though he'll give you these amazing stats, he will lose the game for you. Now, he's won a lot of games for Cowboys fans. And, you know, for some reason, people never really talk about the good things he's done. He's done great things. However, the games that matter,
he's choked.
He always choke. And people are going to remember you more when you choke than when you do great things. Look at Eli Manning. He won 2 Super Bowls. Two. Yeah. Not one, but two.
But he's not an elite quarterback.
He's an elite quarterback. Look at his numbers.
He's not an elite quarterback.
Look at his numbers.
We had this discussion already. Eli Manning is an elite quarterback.
I don't care what anyone says. Look at his numbers.
Look at his numbers. That means his numbers. He's led 3 out of 4 seasons in interceptions. How is he an elite quarterback? You don't lead the league in interceptions.
It's called consistency, man.
There is no consistency.
Oh, what do you mean there's no consistency?
If he led the league in interceptions 3 out of 4 years, how is that consistent?
But he always go over 20-plus touchdowns per season. Always. Look at his number. He's never missed a game starting.
Phil Rivers has led the touchdowns more than 20 touchdowns in the past 10 years.
Rivers, who for a while, was injury-prone. Don't forget, Eli never missed a game. Since he became a starter, he never missed a game. Never has he missed a game. Look at his numbers. Look at Eli Manning's numbers. Yes, he led the league in interception. But he showed you that mental toughness to come back year in and improve. Eli Manning is going to give you 3,000-plus yards, 22-25 touchdown, and give you about 10 to 15 interceptions.
That's consistency. I'll give you one thing about his elite quarterback in terms of status. It's only in the fourth quarter. I'll give him that.
That's the most important thing you need.
Okay. But if you go from that perspective, what about Mark Sanchez? Because he was in that conversation, has been in the closest game. He's ranked top 5 in the QBR rating when it comes to the clutch game. He just sucks.
Here's the thing with Sanchez, right? Sanchez cannot take over a game. Unfortunately, he wasn't blessed with the amazing arm to just change the game in an instant, right? But if you manage the game and he doesn't make any mistakes, he'll win the game for you in the fourth quarter because he's mentally tough. When you look at Eli Manning and Andrew Luck throws interceptions because they don't care. They're going out for that big one. And they'll throw the interception, they come back, and say, okay, they're mentally tough. Tony Romo, in my opinion, is not mentally tough.
You don't think so? He's playing through an injury right now.
Yes, back injury. That's physically tough. He's physically tough. I said mentally tough. Look at it. Why all the time he makes the same mistake late in the fourth quarter? That is something mental. He's physically tough. You do not play with a back injury like he has. And got hit in that, remember, in the Washington game, the Monday night game. Came back, and he played well. So when you look at it, he's physically tough. I will never question any NFL player's toughness physically. Your mental toughness, though, I can question all I want. And I don't think Tony Romo is mentally tough.
Did you also is mentally tough?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Like, all his confidence, thinking he's a pro bowl quarterback?
He's confident, borderline cocky, but I don't think he's mentally tough. Because there's some criticism that he will get, right? Critics will criticize him, and I think he takes it too personally.
He does.
You cannot be in the limelight and don't expect to be criticized. That's one thing that's going to happen. Once you're in the limelight, you're going to be criticized, right? When you and I make it big, we're going to be criticized everything that we say, you know? That's just how it's going to be.
Well, let's get this way from the Jets' perspective. They won today, which is a boneheaded win, in my opinion, because they need to tank all the way through so they get the number one pick, number two. But you look at these quarterbacks between Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, and based on what the insiders and analysis are saying about these two quarterbacks, they're not really Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers franchise quarterbacks. You hear that?
I always dislike those comparisons. You know why?
Yeah.
No one thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be that good coming out of college.
But Andrew Luck. Everybody thought Andrew Luck was going to be good.
Andrew Luck was just surefire just because he brought Stanford, you know, to play well.
Jim Harbaugh.
So Andrew Luck was a sure pick. They were comparing him to Peyton Manning out of college. So when you look at Aaron Rodgers, was never compared like that. He was a 21st pick for a reason. No one really thought he was going to be that great. I think being mentored by Brett Favre, I had to sit and develop his game even more, propel his game to improve dramatically. But I don't think people looked at him in that, Aaron Rodgers is going to be great. I don't think so at all. Mariota, he's been in college for a very long time, so he has the experience, the mental toughness, the leadership to do well. Winston, he brings a lot of controversy.
He's like Dan Marino.
He brings a lot of controversy. And I don't, in today's day, especially with the case he had with the sexual abuse case,
yeah.
I don't think a lot of teams really want to mess with that situation, you know, coming out of college. It still hasn't been finalized yet at Florida State University. So I think a lot of teams are going to try and stay away from him. I think Winston has more potential than Mariota.
Well, he has an NFL body, in my opinion.
He's massive.
Yeah.
He has a great arm.
Pocket passer.
You know.
He's compared to Tom Brady, in my opinion.
His personality is...
Yeah.
He's a very cool, relaxed type of guy.
He's compared to Tom Brady, in my opinion.
So I see him being successful. I hate these comparisons because you don't know how someone's going to play in NFL until they get in the NFL. You know?
You give me an NFL bust, though? Both of these quarterbacks?
If he was in the SEC West.
Who?
All these quarterbacks. Any quarterback that come out of SEC,
yeah.
I would say, okay, they will do well in the NFL because they're playing NFL-type defenses.
Yeah.
But when you're from the Big 10, the Big 12, all these, because once you get to the NFL, these guys are faster, stronger, everything of nature. From the SEC, they're playing, most of them guys are playing in the NFL. So you get to see that. You know, you experience that. So I don't think, I hate comparison, but I think Jameis Winston have a higher upside than Mariota.
Yeah, upside because he's a pocket passer and he's more throw the ball.
And he's mobile.
And he's mobile, yeah.
He is mobile.
But Mariota's mobile too. But he plays more of the gun perspective more than the
Mariota would do great if he go to Philly.
Yeah.
And if you go to Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, Chip Kelly, yeah.
That would be a monster reunion.
You think he's a good fit for the Jets?
No.
You think Winston's a good
fit
for the Jets?
Because here's the thing. We don't know who's going to be the head coach for the Jets. We know it's not going to be Rex.
It's not going to be Harbaugh?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. And if it is, I'll be surprised. I can say that much.
But you think Harbaugh with Mariota would be a good combination?
It would be, because then it would be similar to him and...
Luck?
Yeah. No, not Luck.
Oh, no, I mean Kaepernick.
Kaepernick. That would be a similar situation. Even though Kaepernick has regressed.
He's regressed a lot.
He has regressed.
He's not the same player as he was before.
I think mentally more than physically. I think it was more the pressure.
Yeah, I think it was more the pressure now, because now he has that contract. Now people are expecting a lot from him, like he's going to be the best two-good quarterbacks that they ever seen or something like that.
He has the talent. And he showed it.
Yeah, when he can run.
And he's got a laser arm as well.
Oh, yeah, he has a strong arm. But the problem is he doesn't have accuracy.
He regressed.
His accuracy is off, but his arm strength's up there.
I don't think his accuracy is up. I just think he don't have good relationship with his
receivers. But his receivers are deep. Have you seen his receivers? They have a stacked receiver.
I said his relationship. I never said about the relationship not being good. I don't care how good you are if you don't have a relationship.
So the chemistry's lacking then with the team.
I think so. It's obvious chemistry's lacking with the team. They're 7-6.
What do you think of Wilson with the Seahawks, though?
I mean, they traded
Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin. Right? Because Percy Harvin was challenging Wilson. So he showed you sometimes wide receivers and quarterbacks get that contact. Even though Wilson isn't really a wide receiver, he's more of a combo type of player. He do both. Running back.
Harvin?
Yeah.
Yeah, Harvin's a running back, wide receiver, kick off.
Everything, yeah.
You need Jesse to keep him?
I do. He did well last week.
Oh, he did, yeah.
He really stepped up his game.
I mean, he is a game changer, in my opinion, and healthy, because he's quick.
But then... You never know when his migraine is going to kick in.
Yeah.
And I've been following him since Florida. He always has his migraines since Florida, man.
There's always a lot of migraines. So what do you think the Jets have to do by the end of these 2 weeks? Lose or win?
I want them to play their best. I don't want them to lose just to try and get better draft picks. No. Play your hearts out. People are still coming to watch you play in this cold. Play your hearts out, Jets. No, go Jets. Play your heart out.
And the Giants.
Same.
Just win.
Just play ball. 7-9.
So we have the Knicks now. They're down by 2 with 36 seconds to go. And this is where we keep criticizing them about these close games.
They're going to lose.
Why?
It's the Knicks in the fourth quarter. What do you expect?
They can't overcome this?
I don't think so.
It's against the Raptors. I know they're young.
The Raptors are good.
But
Raptors are playing ball. Don't sleep on the Raptors.
How much you want to bet that I see him right now drawing up a play for Melo and he misses the ball? Misses the shot.
More likely.
Or they give it to Tim Hardaway Jr. and he misses the shot, too.
I would like for them to win the game. Let's see what happens.
How can they win if they can't even close out games, though?
Let's see what happens.
5 points or less. I mean, I'm saying anything could happen. But the Knicks right now, I mean, in my opinion, if they got to win, they got to win. But if they're not going anywhere, Melo's knee and everything, just shut them down. That's my opinion. So that's it for tonight on Sports Talk 12:40 a.m. all about New York. Oh, and they tied the game right now, 28 seconds to go. So I think it happened right there. But me, of course, Ray Mora, and
this is Brian White
on 12:40 a.m. in Long Island, West Babylon. See you next month, next week. I have more hosts coming up.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Yep, and Merry Christmas.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.